Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggly.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Cased up, low, locked down, I'm a menace. I gives it up, I give a fuck, a loaf for life cause I'm with it. I see fresh, dressed like a million bucks. I ain't the locust, rip ride in the navy blue chucks. Not the low top type cause they slip and they slide. But the hot tops for gangsters with the stars on the side. I'm bucking off brand, on slide, bitches and tricks. And I'm the east side, push, damn off your crib. Boss up to my homies on the 10 and the 5. In the cut on the street, getting paid on the front line. I ride over seaside, death to my enemies. Mission to make a meal to chill with my biggest cheese. I got a heat for you slob niggas slipping. That trippin' is my favorite pastime, low, cause I'm creepin'. See you slob as you swerving deep in the suburban. Pull up close to the curb, get up close so I can serve him.
Ain't no mercy or grace.
Put him in his place, make every bullet count. So put a slug in his face. Nationwide, east side, wide, spreading the square, crib ride. Another sway hood slippin', another sway just die. I ain't lie when I say you see me dumpin' east side. Nationwide, rip ride, it's quick to move some. The AGC straight rolling on that east side ride, where gangsters like to ride and do a homicide. I catch a slug slipping, I break his fucking neck and putting these bucks a punk nigga straight in check. Talking about shoes a gangster, nigga use a buster, run his slides over, nigga you can't trust a nigga from the AZALONJESTA. And I'ma spray when I have to, buster, I chase you off the hood, because you know the OG Sally straight up to no good. Would you try to test me and get straight dog, cause I'll be rolling motherfuckers like Lumberjack Rose Law. Beat the real crippin'. Back in 69, you young rookies don't know shit about Jamel and Big Cookie doing this at Green Meadows. I'm that little bitty fella running around while my niggas busting caps. Hello, recognize, nigga, when that gangster's coming through. Dressed in blue, and we did it just for you. Not banging on wax, but banging for my turf. And I be tossing niggas like a motherfucking nerf, and I'm mad.
You gotta be down, man, you can't be a hoe, no.
Your mouth. I empty clips on that ass for the motherfucking stop. Never slipping, steady dipping, that's the way that we gripping. Buck a slob on the color flame, duck cop slipping. Gates the bone jump out with the gauge point blank. Ray said,
nigga, fuck slob, it's the AD.
Slob niggas should've known that the bone is a killer.
Stop for letting drop cops the grip, buck them slob niggas. Nationwide, rip ride, nigga, this the double less. Young Gates the bone, beat your face, putting slob to rest. Nigga, this is crip, so it's popping with that BK. Like I said last time, every dog has his day. Slob keep slipping when I'm jipping, coming at your show. Smoke like a motherfucking 950 new pope, nigga, this is AZ, rolling with the stop side straight, crip face nationwide, nigga rip. Putting it down ain't a motherfucking thing to me either, low. So I commence to smoke bush, nigga, fuck a slide from Cedar. I'm on Alameda, on my way to Aon with the Glock 10 millimeter. A who ride ain't shit to me. 187 on the motherfucking MOB. KPBG, fuck a slob. AK-47 on the lollipop mob, low. I Kelly Crip with my homies from the end gang. East side, rip ride to the membrane. The 47 still giving it up. And fuck a slob, I'm a motherfucking Compton nut. I represent that East side, rip, don't even trip. When I hit you up with that watch, Franklin Crip. Fool, ain't no stopping when I'm out there wig shopping. More damn spot from nigga with the Compton. Quick to pop up on deck with a tech. Spot a slob and try my best to take off his neck. They should have told you about this Lokestar out there banging with killers and shirt smokers. I claim the F till I finally put the rest. Until then, I'm bringing nothing but total death. Kool-Aid, Big G from the FC. Watch Franklin Crip till they bury me.
The East Side is where I ride. Ooh, let's get that straight. FCG till I reach them golden gates. Do a die, Crip or cry. I thought I told ya. Run up on CIX and I'ma fold ya. So think twice if you're moving through my end hood. Nigga, see deep in them squares up to no good. Watch the city a tombstone. The evil side, same fool. Sleeping the same fool just died. So remember what goes on in them tombstones. You ain't got your chrome, you best stay at home. It ain't no joking around, it ain't no surprise. You better recognize nationwide, rip ride.
Yeah, you down, then you can't be a hoe, no.
What's up, Scarface Troll, K-Tone Cuz, what's happening?
What's up, cuz?
What's up, big bun?
What's up, cuz?
Hey, bun, you let me get some zigzags.
Nigga, you know I don't smoke that shit, cuz.
I got some zags,
hey, cuz.
Blaze it up,
man. Hey, I'm just kicking it, cuz. Hey, bun, what's up with that last banging on wax tape, cuz? Niggas been telling me, man, the riff side was weak in the motherfucker.
What y'all mean, nigga?
Nigga,
if y'all got something that's cool on this, nigga, it's a part two coming up on, nigga. Y'all can come down to the studio, motherfucker, and put some shit down. Nigga, you got something on tape I can hear right now, nigga?
Yeah, nigga, we got some shit, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Me, A-Wall, the
Well, nigga, put that shit in, cuz. Let me hear. Oh, East Side Rip Rise.
East Side Rip Rise.
Up 2 C's, hit the cramps with the strap blue down in BD. Die rules can't escape once the gas starts boiling. Cousin Bright dead shirt, make them good targets. Taking no fucking prisoner, so when I shoot, I'm hitting ya. Slide dead once the fofo gets to spitting up. And filling up Snoop MUT, breaking new lives down to they goddamn knees. Don't like it, then sue me, bro, cause I makes it my duty, ho. To dish you bitch slides to your face off the studio. Cause half you niggas talking shit is weak. Gang banging on the mic, but you's a bitch on the street. Preppy dressing, lying about the niggas you smoke. And wouldn't claim yourself for shit if you was ever approached. I ain't pointing no finger, cause you know who you are. Janky slob motherfucker talking loud like you are. Fuck all y'all niggas, I'm a beat off killer. Shots out to the Atlantic and them in-hood niggas. Troll up with the eagle ass, E5 riders, K's up, slob down, cause the Crips is much more wide.
I'm fucking on awesome.
live niggas slipping, step tripping, it's my favorite pastime. Low, cause I'm crippin', see you slide and release it, pop, pop, add a beat to my Glock pistol as I roll up the block. Fool, I gives a fuck about where you from. If I catch you on the creep, I'ma leave your whole body numb. Just a little present call aftermath. Me and my Tech 9 dumping in the slob, left in the bloodbath.
It's the BK in me that make me ride.
On another homicide, as I'm claiming nationwide.
Eastside, watch Franklin, Crip gang.
Swerving on you slob, niggas show you how we gang bang. So I'ma smile now, cause I ain't never shed a tear for a bit. Freeze, Tech 9, tough lines, and I'm a spitter. So let me get the BK riders on the front line.
It's slob killer, nigga.
Yeah, Chris is set, Chris on. Don't crack and backpack and fool his own. It's BK all day and you was caught in the zone. I suggest you get your tombstone ready, you know why. Just watch Franklin Crip BK till I die.
Alright, alright. We in the building. Off the Cuff Radio, live and direct. I am your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin. And this show is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Fleetwood and the Cotton Pickers, Jesse Boutique, Core Financial, Da Vinci Clothing. Got my host T-Max and the Facts in the building. What's good, my brother?
What it do, y'all? This is OTC on another Friday night, doing it fresh to death. Shout out to our co-host, the Fair Art Fan Man, Lady Chinchilla. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we got one of the most solid ever representing Fudgetown. Yes, he stands ten toes down. Shout out to Ray Ray, Rayshawna Washington, Crip Royalty. Throw it up for the career. Basically putting this together for us. This is for the 10-5 line. This is for Deuces, Trays. We doing it for What's Up, East Side, West Side. We doing it for Atlantic, ECC. We doing it for Atlantic Drive. We doing it for all the blues out there keeping it true. This man right here is not only just an MC in every sense of the word of excellent poetry on the microphone. This man is a philosopher. This man is a walking repository of all things history of LA in terms of the streets. And we are honored and we are privileged to have his intellect, to have his friendship, to have his wisdom on Off the Cuff tonight. And big shout to June Dog, too, representing 109. And Figueroa, you know, he's a frequent collaborator of his as well. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Bronco, what it do, man?
What it do? How y'all feeling?
Man, how you? We good.
Well, I'm all right. I can't complain, man. I'm living. Allah blessed me to have another day, so I'm here.
Absolutely, man.
Appreciate y'all having me, man. Appreciate y'all, you know, having me as a guest on your show.
Definitely, we're humbled. We're happy to have you on, man. It's an honor. Once again, shout out to Rayshawna Washington for helping us put this together. We see you,
shout
boo,
out to
all the way
Ray
out there. Definitely.
Long live Snoopy Blue.
Yes, and we can't forget Snoopy Blue, man. Representing 97 Block ECC, Snoop. We miss you, man. We miss you so much.
Absolutely.
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 And, I mean, look.
So what's going on? What's going on with this fly show y'all got going on that I heard so much about?
Man, look. One thing about the show is what keeps it fly is individuals, you know, like yourself, that gives us our wings in terms of soaring high, in terms of all things academic, authentic, and action-packed on the airwaves doing what we do.
Absolutely. I can dig it.
You got a story. Yeah, I mean, like Biggie said, you know, you got a story to tell. And what King got playing in the background, shout out 213 Long Beach, keeping it gangster for show. The floor is yours, man. I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell our audience about what you do with it.
Well, I mean, it's there. I mean, to say it again would only be, you know, giving you information that you already know, or rather give you information that you don't know. So it can, you know, you can hit me with the questions of, you know, how's it been, how's it going, what's going on, and all of that type of stuff, and I can answer and, you know, pretty much fill in the blanks for you as far as bringing you up to speed and being current with what's going on with me.
Definitely,
so
man. I definitely shoot that off with you, man, because We're in the third quarter right now. We going into the fall season. You can feel it in the energy in the air. Tell us what you got going on with the for the fall season going on.
I got a lot of features going on. I'm blessed to just still be able to, you know, run laps and outrun, you know, or keep up my win with the best of the best, or who they call the best of the best. It still remains to be seen, because I come from a floor of MCs that, you know, they come before this era right here. So I respect the peer group that I come from. Not that I don't respect the peer group that came after, but you have to earn my respect the same as anything else. So with that being said, you know, it's kind of like survival of the fittest when it comes to MCing and stuff like that, because truly I'm a hip-hop head, even though I grew up in California, born and raised, you know, in L.A. There's a culture current there, too. There's a temperature there for culture as far as hip-hop goes, too. And, you know, we dominant in certain instances, regardless of the overtones, or whether it's a red overtone, a blue overtone, because we come from a bandana culture. You know, they fail to realize that there's still some intellect there. There's still some margin of, you know, bringing our faculties together and focusing on, you know, key points and things like that, whether they political, whether they heartfelt. And most of the things that we talk about are, in my opinion, our hieroglyphics. Because what other way do we tell our story for the time that we spend on the planet other than through hip hop? Because we don't have no pyramids that we can etch these things into. And if hip hop and audio is our canvas, then what better way to put these things, you know, to a proper purpose than to share them with the other generations that don't get a chance to meet us face to face in the flesh?
Absolutely.
And on top of that, man, what's dope about the West Coast is that, see, people from the outside in will look at y'all as, you know, oh, it's nothing about just gangster rapping gangs, but you really step out into the turf, man, it's more hip-hop than people believe. Like, you get a lot of science, you get a lot of street culture, you get a lot of battle culture. You got a real strong hip-hop-related culture out there, just like the East Coast.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it have its own, you know, every dish that a chef cook up, you know, it got its own recipe. It got its own seasonings and all it. You know, it's got its own cook time, its own temperature and all of that. So if you're on the West Coast, we famous for, you know, certain dishes, certain cuisine. So if we can relate, or, you know, use the term metaphor and use food, well, we create a different kind of food here that's just as delicious and just as delectable as it is if we was in New York and y'all creating y'all hip-hop, you know, food, so to speak, food for thought, food for the ear, you know, through your chefs, you know, be it Nas or Method Man or Jada Kiss or whoever you pick, if it's Big L, if it's Jam Master J, you know, if it's, you know, those some of those guys that are from New York are our heroes as well in hip-hop. It's not just L.A. dudes and MCs that we respect. We respect the whole scope of hip-hop, because without the whole scope, we're nothing without each other.
Absolutely. And that's how the coast combined in terms of creating classics, in terms of culinary entrees for the ears to consume. You know, as you said, Bronco,
right,
about how, you know, you bring about, you know, as you would tag your set on the walls out there, you know, you're letting your lyrics lace the LP on the beat in terms of giving everybody, you know, the story, the gang stories and the street, you know, the street tales. What was your introduction, Bronco, in terms of what made you fall in love with the game, and when you decided to take this seriously, and some of your first appearances once you got on doing this seriously?
As far as hip hop, or as far as the culture, and growing up in California under the bandanas and stuff.
Well, we could start with the music and then get into, of course, Bandana, of course, you representing, you know, Fudge Town. But please, you know, let's start from the music side first, and then we talk about, you know, the street side of it as well.
Well, with hip-hop, I think the first song that I heard that really had me focused and had me in tune and had my ears like Dr. Spock ears was the Sugar Hill Gang. My uncle brought an album home, and it was an all-white 12-inch, and he played it on the record player at the house. It wasn't that I heard it through the radio. I heard it at the house through the speakers on the component set, on the old component set. It was Rapper's Delight and the Sugar Hill Gang, and then it was other MCs, underground MCs with their tapes and, you know, stuff like that that I was coming in contact with. But I was always, you know, focused on, you know, Bill Cosby's characters, you know, with the black character, cartoon characters that resemble me and stuff like that. So all of these things was the seasonings of when I was growing up that had us, you know, into it. Where I was, where I grew up at in the ghetto and why, we didn't, during a cowboy, an old Western movie, we didn't root for the motherfucking, the cowboys. We rooted for the fucking Indians because the Indians most represented and resembled us in the ghetto. So
right,
with that
right.
being said, it was more of a, you know, we root for the bad guy, but the bad guy ain't really the bad guy. Not where we sitting at. Robin Hood ain't really the bad guy. If the bank robber comes to the hood and he throwing money out the fucking car that he having a high-speed chase in and shit, is he really the bad guy? If he came to it, if he spread hope in a place where there's hopelessness at, if he encouraged the youth and stuff to be more than the older kids that are growing up right in the age bracket before them, is he really the bad guy? If what he did when he was a teenager in his early 20s and stuff like that, if by the time he gets 40 years old or 45 years old, the city and the system that he lives in and the social setting deems those things lawful instead of unlawful, then he really don't have no record, do he?
Absolutely.
But he's still got all the insults that a guy that sold crack or a guy that sold heroin or a guy that sold anything that was even close to what the current thing is called fentanyl now. A weed person, a person that sold weed got the same insults. He got the same police calls called on him as if he was selling a drug that would kill everybody in the room.
Yeah.
And, so we got these different circumstances, these overlapping issues and these different circumstances, but being introduced to hip-hop, it was that. Like, I come from watching Rerun and stuff like that with his locking and Shabadoo and Boogaloo Shrimp and all of that stuff like that. I was, you know, flipping off the pissy mattress off the bandos with the rest of the homies in the dirt fields and stuff during the summer when we not in the same public swimming pool and stuff like that, flipping off the diving boards and stuff like that. So when it came to breakdancing and hip-hop and watching that and seeing that and all of that, this was the natural evolution of a kid that was growing up at that time to be interested in the culture that your people create and to find out what your niche is and what you do that's equivalent to, you know, worthy of praise, things that are worthy of praise, things that make people clap and things that make people proud. Proud to be, if your friend can't do it, but you can, so he proud that he know you, that he buddies with you. They get bragging rights with that. It's all of those things that make a ghetto kid who he is, if he lives long enough to become the adult that he's supposed to be. Some of us, some of my friends didn't live long enough to become this age right here, to develop and grow into the adults that the rest of us are getting a chance to grow and develop into. Some of them died before they even met their firstborn.
And you know what, man? And that's good. And it's dope that you brought that part of the culture up, man, because that's often overlooked by many platforms because people really didn't really catch on to hip-hop until it really started booming in the 90s. And you can also see why a lot of heads, they feel a sort of way about, you know, the comments that academics said about hip-hop, the pioneers being dusty. But at the same time, without that history, there's no us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What? Without a Raymond Washington or a Tookie Williams and the other guys that came from the culture, people who didn't live in the culture, grow up in the culture, are saturated and bathed in the culture every day of their life, every minute of their life, they really don't have the genuine scope to understand and wrap their mind around those of us that did until you either are introduced to one and actually sit down and understand that this ain't no zombie, this ain't no clone, this is a real living human being, a free-thinking individual who have made certain decisions and choices the same as anybody else and have to reap from the benefits or, you know, you reap what you sow. Whatever the consequences and the karma is, that's what it is based on the choices that each individual makes. Not, but you can't blame your grandfather for some shit you do today.
Absolutely not. It's all about the fact in terms of, you know, the great fashion writer, designer of the past, Andre Leon Talley. He always had a saying that said history matters. And it's important because, and also rest in peace to Alfredo Shabadu Quiones, of course, as you referenced from Breaking Fame. And shout out to Ice-T, you know, for being in both of those movies, one and two, because this was the introduction for a lot of us on the East Coast in terms of watching that with y'all to see how deep your connection to it was from dance as well as rhyming. I think with L.A. culture, it was always different because you all had a story that on the East Coast,
we didn't really understand in full. Everybody from where they come from has a different experience. Their existence is different from when they touch down on this earth to how they observe, how they understand, how they react, and ultimately how that influences their life coming up. As you said, Bronco, a lot of people got caught up in the street who at a young age fell victim to something where they were not able to have that growth to mature, become the adult, to fully comprehend what their purpose in life was.
Absolutely.
When you got into the rhyming part of it, tell us about the first rhyme that you wrote in terms of how you pretty much were like, okay, I'm going to do this. And what was it like in terms of you really being able to express yourself? What was that catharsis for you? What was that epiphany of creation for you, understanding? Once you put the words on paper down, how powerful your voice could be, as you said, echoing the sentiments of the hood, you know, to the world.
Well, it kind of, to be, you know, 21 years old, and to understand, well, to not really understand that's actually a platform, the same way that the president has a platform that he speaks from when he talks to the other nations or when he speaks to us, you know, from that platform, from that little wooden place with that microphone right there. Well, that podium right there, that first base, that mound is a place where people give you their attention, and it's up to you to say something of purpose and something of that can be substantiated with proof if it's something that the crowd that you're speaking to considers a far-fetched, you know, fictional thing. Then you have to present proof in fact in order to sustain, you know, your claim. Well, with me, it was more or less I understood the importance of that podium and that platform later. So in the beginning, it wasn't me playing around like kids do when their parents leave and you get to jump and flip in the bed and pretend you're a gymnast or anything. It wasn't that. It was me realizing the more I came across the mic and, you know, the people, the other people who used this tool to express themselves in such a way, well, damn, these people that have been doing it 2, 3 years, 4, 5, 10 years before me, I started to look at everybody and how serious they took this thing called the craft. And it's kind of like when you get your first art class and you judge your artwork before anybody sees it. So you'll either scribble over it, notch it out, or ball the paper up and throw it over in the corner because you're not satisfied with it in order to put it on display and say, hey, look what I did. But as an artist, you understand that your first sketch isn't always the one that you show everybody. Sometimes you might show them sketch number 13 because it took you to get from sketch number 1 to number 13, which was satisfactory to you in your eyes, and that was worthy of showing everybody else. So including with rhymes and in paintings and anything else, you don't know if the artist, if the one that we see, this Van Gogh or this Renoir or this verse that we hear from Mel, we don't know if that's the 13th one or the 14th one. We don't know if it was the first one right off the rip. Like, only the artist knows that. And being an artist, that gives you a sense of direction, a certain sense of where I want everybody else that's going to listen to me for these couple of seconds, where I want to take them with me on this little, this audio ride right here, this listening party right here. Because in music, in my opinion, metaphorically, you listening with your eyes and you watching with your ears. If you can understand that. It's kind of funny for me to say that, but if you weird like I am and you in tune with that type of stuff, then you understand exactly what I said. I don't gotta use a definition for that. If y'all know what I'm talking about, y'all know what I'm talking about.
What's understood?
In
know,
our
what's
culture,
understood?
When we tuned into what we got going on and we tuned into our people, when our souls are connected, we listen to things with our eyes and we look at things with our ears. True or not?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because it's
so that's
about,
the place
where
I was. So when I understood that right there, I was like, you know, I got some things I want to say. And especially if these certain, you know, if there's a certain crowd, if I know the crowd of people that I'm talking to my peers, the people who I speak that language, I'm speaking to those people. There's something I need to say to them. There's a certain way that I need to say these things in order for them to get it and for it not to go over their head and it be just disregarded by the group of people that I'm speaking to. And then, in another sense, it's my duty to say certain things because I speak for other people who can't do this thing, who can't paint with this paintbrush on this audio canvas, who can't do this with words, who would love to and would say it with their chest, but they just don't have, they haven't refined the skill or the craft, or they don't have that as an interest of theirs. They love it, but they love it for somebody else. Like, I grew up in California. I'm around the lowriders and all that, but I wouldn't buy a lowrider for myself. I love them motherfuckers for somebody else. But me, I'm more of a Panamera type of cat. You understand what I'm saying? Even though I grew up in the hood and all that, I'm one of them type of Crips. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's about
there's a difference. There's different classes of those of us that grew up here, the same as there are different classes and different sections of the bleachers that brothers sit in on the East Coast. You know what I mean? So you got some fly player type niggas that they energy is, bitches just love them niggas. They ain't gotta have no money. They some fly niggas with white teeth and nice hairlines and all that shit, nice grayed hair. They bitches be on them niggas. Well, they bring a certain energy to the hood.
That's true.
Right?
For real, man. And it's dope.
For every one female that like him, it's three or four females weirder that's looking for him to have a partner too that looks similar, if not the same. God damn it, it's going down.
Right?
That's just some player shit. Then you got the niggas that got bread. That's another section of the bleachers. You got ugly niggas, you got tall niggas, you got little niggas, you got tiny niggas, you got fat niggas, you got all every, you got yellow niggas, high yellow niggas, you got niggas with freckles and red hair. You got every description of a nigga that there is that got some bread. He's sitting in that section of the bleachers. He can fuck bitches too because he got the bread to do it. If he had no bread, he wouldn't be able to get two words out of them bitches though.
That's real. And it's about a diversity.
Then you got the
it's
cool ass, the Arthur Ponzarelli type nigga that, you know, it's pretty much however you want to play it today. If you want to fuck with some bitches, he can. If you want to just fuck over some niggas and beat some niggas up and just smash, he can do that. It's whatever you want. You got that class of niggas too. Then you got the cool niggas that don't nobody fuck with because they ain't bothering nobody, but they're getting your motherfucking ass if you play them foul. Play them left if you want to. You got all them same type of niggas from the hood. Every nigga ain't no shooter. Every nigga ain't no rah-rah ass nigga. Every nigga ain't gonna go to jail and do 20 years of life and don't give a fuck.
That's true.
Every nigga ain't gonna rob no bank.
That's true.
And every nigga not gonna do no drive-by shooting and do no graffiti on the wall or none of that shit. Got some fly niggas that feel like that type of shit is beneath them.
Absolutely. When you look about how you got on set with it, because this is a perfect segue, Bronco, about how you got on set, because, you know, we also got to shout out, you know, Robert Sugar Bear Jackson, founder of the Crip Walk. We got to shout out, you know, OGs like Barefoot Pookie. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now we got to shout out, of course, you know, and of course we got to shout out, of course, our homegirl, you know, representing it, Kenya Ware, you know, doing the documentary Birth of a Crip. You know, the Raymond Washington
Absolutely.
Story. Much love.
Shout out to Kenya. Shout out to Raymond Lee Washington Jr. Shout out to Ray Shonda and the whole Washington family.
Absolutely.
All of the
Mom
DNA
Washington
that comes from the book.
Absolutely. Now, you represent Fudgetown Crip. And definitely, you know, 10 toes down, you know, solid in the ground with it. Tell us what it is about what it means to be on set, because we got to have a discussion about it in terms of how a lot of heads this day and this generation get out there claiming something, but not necessarily understand what it means to claim, especially with the rise of social media, everybody trying to portray an image.
Absolutely.
The rules have changed from where you started with it, Bronco, in terms of what it meant to be on, what it meant to represent, and to really, you know, put in that work, being with that action, you know, attacking. Please, the floor is yours.
Well, the difference is, what the big difference is that a lot of what we would call our leaders, because I don't think that in one section of the city, in no part of the sandbox where there's a set, whether it's Blood or Crip, Hispanic gangs, they're governed different. They're different. There's a different structure to how they get down, and I really couldn't speak in terms in depth on that. But as far as this African American shit go, here it's more of a, it's different in terms of, I admire my older homies and shit like that. It was something, not every last one of them, some of them turned into smokers and shit like that. Like in anybody's neighborhood, they ended up succumbing to the surroundings and stuff like that. And if you don't adapt to overcome, then you will succumb to certain things. So some ended up being alcoholics and having a rough life, and some ended up being successful and maintaining their composure and having a natural life and not getting killed like a kingpin does when somebody wants to assume his position in the ghetto the way that they portray it in a movie or some shit like that. Nothing like that at all. Nobody wants your spot. Right. Who the fuck can sit in your spot? There is no spots like that that really exist as far as the ranks, if you will, if you would call it that. Your age bracket is what rank you're in. Your graduating class from high school is the rank that you're in. You ain't nobody big homie if you, what the fuck, that big homie OG. That's an insult to a motherfucker who know what the fuck that shit mean.
Right.
OG is a better term to get a smile and a nod out of an older nigga than old head. Old head is a motherfucker that you don't really have no respect for. You just recognize that he in the atmosphere with you. That's far as California, L.A. niggas going to be on your head about that shit. You can't get away with it. Hey, that's my old, that ain't your old head. Old head is half an old bass head out here, old smoker. Old nigga that's in recovery that got a 25-year chip or some shit. So we address our elders even different down here. My big homies in the older bracket, older age bracket, or older graduating class from high school than me and shit like that, all of them don't get addressed with big homies. Some of them motherfuckers is an insult, and I'm ashamed that they even from the same sandbox I'm from because of the different shit that they did that I watched when they was growing up. And then others got my nod of approval, and I'm proud to be from the same sandbox that they come from. Same as y'all. Everybody didn't impress y'all when y'all was growing up. Some of them motherfuckers was a, damn, I hate that he even from over here. Fuck. Who raised this motherfucker? Get him out of here.
Like, well, he
that type of shit. Same in my, in other words, my ghetto ain't no different than yours, regardless of the fact that it has a culture that has, that's caused a temperature here that, that's in the shade of red and blue. My ghetto ain't no different. We got the same kind of shooters and shit, same kind of recipients of the bullet, too. Same kind of agony, same kind of defeat, same kind of victories, same kind of losses, same kind of cemetery, same kind of cell block. No motherfucking different.
You're absolutely right with it.
Difference in our culture and their culture is we didn't grow up killing our peers and shit like that when we get mad at them. They grow up. They can grow up with somebody from elementary school all the way through high school and all that. Get in their 20s and shit, kill each other over a bitch or over a misunderstanding or some shit. We ain't do that type of shit.
What do you think?
That wasn't part of how we got down with the, I got an attitude with you, I'm mad at you about some shit. As far as we going to go as a fist fight, and the homies ain't even going to let the fist fight get out of hand where it's going to turn into some gunplay. They going, all right, that's enough, goddammit. These generations, they don't listen. They smokers. We were selling dope and shit talking about that. They talking about smoking dope, drinking dope, consuming dope. So our generation, we grew up under the rappers that was telling the stories about hustling and selling dope. They the rappers that's growing up taking the dope, teaching the next generation that it's okay to be a junkie, my dude, on crib. They ain't what this supposed to be about. Community revolution and progress supposed to mean we supposed to be neighborly. We supposed to be kind to each other, even though we not blood related. I'm supposed to be able to find sanctuary in your neck of the woods if I can't find freedom and peace over here in my neck of the woods because it's too hot, because it's fucked up between me and another race of people, not another black person. That's what it supposed to be about. Not about no, if it wasn't never no Crips, it wouldn't have never been no Bloods. Let me say that. We'd have been something, but we wouldn't have been no Bloods and no Crips. Remember, there was a Huey Newton and motherfuckers like that that came before all of that.
That's true. Up in North Carolina.
So if we fully focus as adults, then we have to understand that this whole literature that everybody have adopted and took into their own situation, everybody been ad-libbing like an actor without no motherfucking screen, without no lines to fucking memorize. So what happened between them generations and what's the profound gap in it is that they locked away all of the motherfuckers that all the young niggas would have listened to Because if there ain't no consequences, when the teacher's away, the children gonna play in the motherfucking room. They gonna fuck up on the chalkboard and all that shit. They don't get into some fights, some fuckery, or some horseplay gonna go on in the classroom when the teacher ain't there, but ain't no cool-ass TA on deck. Same way in the hood. If you don't got the right older homies around, shit, the youngsters gonna get out of line. They gonna get a little beside themselves and shit. They ain't got nobody to check them, even if it's their presence. Your older brother's presence on the block make you mind your fucking manners and not do no outlandish shit. You don't want to get in trouble with him.
That's true.
All of that shit, that play a part in all of this shit, bro. Both in Crip Hood and Blood Hood, because we all the same.
And we
all black front when we wake up in the morning. This what motherfuckers have forgot. The whole recipe to this shit and knocking it off, to sow the division in the ranks is this. We have to find a way to fall in love with each other all over again, cuz.
That's true.
Period.
That's true.
Dot.
And when you,
don't pull us down, my nigga.
And, when
and I only say that,
Marco,
not as an immature older dude, but because would an Irishman say that he's not from Ireland because he's in fucking United States? Would a Japanese man put his motherfucking Japanese flag in his trunk and not display it in his home? And would he say that he's not from Japan because he's not in Japan, motherfucker? Fuck no,
no
he won't.
Nah.
So why the fuck do I gotta say I ain't, or act like I'm not, or pretend like I'm not, as if I'm ashamed of where I come from when I'm not? I speak for those who can't speak for themselves in the sandbox where I come from. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to be as articulate and as intelligent as I'm supposed to be the right representation of the people that I come from. Not no fucking asshole. That's a whole lot of you know what I'm saying. And the fuck out of here. Can read and write. I know some motherfuckers that can run a Fortune 500 company from the curb. Nip already told y'all. A lot of my brothers don't have no fucking platform to explain it to you, though. And a lot of you corporate motherfuckers don't speak the language we speak.
That's true. And I think that's where when we look at it too, Bronco, in reference to how you said there was a breakdown of structure from the older gangs in terms of a lot of the OGs who either died or went to prison and they left it out there in the streets. We look at the music now in terms of all sides. We've had this discussion. You heard some of the leaks we sent you. People we talked to about the direction of where the music is, and how people are making the decisions about what it's supposed to sound like, how we're supposed to look, you know. And it's like, how can somebody who's not of our culture, who doesn't necessarily grow up the way we grew up to understand it, how can they tell us how we're supposed to look, how we're supposed to sound with the music, you know, what we're supposed to talk about? I'm like, they can't. If they haven't walked that mile in our shoes of maintaining that level of authenticity, they damn sure can't have us run a marathon in terms of telling us and coaching us on this is how you gain longevity. It just doesn't work. And I think we've seen the music suffer for it. You know, when we see a lot of artists, there's definitely one thing about it, there's always been an intrinsic link with hip-hop and the street, because that's where hip-hop came from, street culture. And we add the gang element to it, and I know this is going to be a touchy subject for a lot of people. Back in the day, we talked with so many people about this. If you were actively banging, you know, if you were rapping back in the day, we kind of had a hint if you were, depending on who the artist was, what they were representing, but we did, it's not like it was just all over, like, I got to tell everything I've done. If you understood the lingo, if you understood the references, then you knew that they was real with it. It's like now you have some of these youngins out there, everybody's a gangbanger, everybody's a shooter, everybody's the biggest dope dealer, and they just
right.
put stuff out there, you know, and the whole element of it is that y'all do understand the thing about self-incriminating, and then also even worse.
What they don't understand is this, brother.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand self-incriminating because they're not telling their actual story. They're telling a story about something that they know about or that they heard about, not their actual really living foot by foot, step by step, second by second, hour by hour of it. They're telling, they're sharing intimate information about multiple stories from other people's lives and creating a specific kind of, I created this swagger, this is really the real me, when they really have absorbed someone else's swagger. It may be their older cousin or their sister's boyfriend's sister, brother's somebody. It's a cheap mock-up. So when you come in contact with the real thing, somebody like Nip, somebody like Trey D, somebody like Snoop, somebody, you feel me, when you come in contact with the real California kid, Battle Catter, you know, somebody who brought up from the soil, you understand that those who have been telling you these stories that you've been listening to have been giving you a persona, not the real them. Because the regular real you, it ain't no time to be no actor or no Denzel in Training Day and then Denzel in another movie. You the regular you all the time, whether you at the club, the cookie shop, the laundromat, the gas station, wherever the fuck you at. You the regular you, even when you at the in the booth on the mic.
That's
so
true.
This is how you distinguish between the two. You ain't finna have, I don't never had no homies with me. For what? Why am I have some homies with me for? Well, I ain't doing no homie shit. I'm trying to do corporate shit. So if you ain't no homie that's trying to do corporate shit too, then me and you, our time gonna have to be what our time is. And then when I get ready to go do corporate shit or business shit, then I'm gonna have to go do corporate and business shit with the people that I do business shit with. I can only do hood shit with you. You got to know how to separate the two. Everybody can't go. Everybody don't speak the language. We got to go to Mexico, and I'm the only one who speaks Spanish, and I got to translate for everybody. But if everybody speak a little Espanol, then we all should be good then.
Yeah, it's about a circle that you're in.
You ain't finna, if you're a bank robber and this is what you do, you're not going to take no nigga that make a locksmith with you to the bank. He make keys and shit. He fix locks. You got this. You're going to rob. You got it planned out. What the fuck you going to take the tire guy with you that fix flats and shit? He don't, this is not his line of work.
Right, right.
It's not his area of expertise. He's not skilled in this right here. He's never even tried this shit. So when you got somebody telling on somebody else, it's because the person that's doing the telling was in a situation that he never should have been in the first place. He wasn't fit for that. That's not, that was his, he was in the wrong jacket that day. He put on the go shoot somebody jacket when he ain't the person that's supposed to be going to shoot nobody. He the motherfucker that's supposed to be on the goddamn bicycle popping willies around the water hydrant. He's not, you understand what I'm saying? So this is how you got these different people playing these awful roles, doing these awful things, displaying our whole everything like it's fucked up when... Remember, there's some fucking kids that started this shit because of what they was dealing with the police that was policing the areas and the ghettos that was here before I was born. They had to start a buddy system and stuff like that with the people that didn't gravitate towards gangbanging and stuff like that. They had to go out in couples and twos and fours and shit like that because the white kids was racist as a motherfucker here and they was fucking motherfuckers up. The Bowsers and the Richie Cunninghams and the Arthur Fonzarellis and shit like that was really real down here in L.A. in Hollywood and shit like that. They was harassing black kids and shit like that, that had afros and shit like that, wearing sweaters and shit like that, with a nice girlfriend out in the world with her ponytail and shit like that. If it's just him and her, they gonna fuck with him and shit. But if it's fire, if it's you, your uncle, your brother, your cousin, and everybody got their girls out, no chances of the white kids trying none of that shit with you. This is where all this shit came from, y'all. Not just no dumbass motherfuckers trying some bullshit. This shit came from motherfuckers harassing and embarrassing motherfuckers and assaulting motherfuckers out in the world wrongfully because they was black people, my niggas.
You're right. I mean, you
this
have
where
people
this shit
like
come from,
it.
My niggas. This don't just come from us wanting to bully some other kids and they resisted being bullied, so now it's this. Fuck no. It ain't that.
Yeah, I mean, when you had people like, crews like the Spook Hunters that used to target black people.
Right, exactly. In the late 50s and the early 60s and shit like that, your parents is of that age and shit like that, then your parents know exactly what the fuck you would talk about. If you brought this up at the dinner table, the whole room going to get quiet because they know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
This is why it was Black Panther stationed in every fucking state, and it was starting to spring up in every state in the United, wherever there was a state in the United States, and it was some Peckerwood, some white folks doing some bullshit, KKK shit. It was some niggas right there standing up on that gangster shit, ready to go to blows, guns and all that. Well, we are the residue of that type of shit here in California.
That's true.
The same level of resist, the same, I ain't finna turn the other cheek or take that fucking shit from you, white boy. Got me fucked up. Cut your fucking hand off or I'll let you smack me. That kind of shit. That level of resistance, that temperament right there, that which was lost during slavery or suppressed during slavery, that made a black man shave a white man's neck with a straight razor and not cut his fucking throat and do it for fucking 20 years and shit and never harmed a white guy. That shit, whatever that was lost, what took in Raymond and then found that shit for us here in California. I'll say that. Woke up that shit. Otherwise, it would have been a lot of passive, nerdy-ass white motherfuckers pretending to be Brian Gumbel with that white-ass voice as a black man. Fuck
and
that shit.
Yeah, one thing about it, it's all about protection. That's what people don't understand, the history of it in reference to what was going on. I mean, when you look at it, like you said, Bronco, when you're looking at the history as well with the Black Panthers, one thing that was always, and we look at the situation, of course, we can't forget Fred Hampton, you know, Chairman Fred Hampton, you know.
Absolutely.
These were individuals.
I didn't even bring up the big brother Fred Hampton because that's a whole nother 32-hour conversation, bro. Like, we can go into this all has something to do with the culture and being tribal and all of that type of shit. If you can even put the word tribal on it to be better, you know, suitable for the crowd we talking to wrap their mind around this shit.
Right.
To be able to understand how in-depth we can go with this shit right here.
Yeah.
It's five boroughs on the East Coast of New York. From what I was told, from what I understand, and I ain't never been, but from the stories out there, it's five boroughs, correct?
Absolutely.
Each borough represents a different kind of person. Even though we all the same people, you got Bed-Stuy, you got Brooklyn, you got Manhattan, you got Staten Island, you got Queens, got all these different places, and everybody got their different flavor, correct?
Absolutely.
When it's time to be a whole, New York, New York, fuck you mean, the Big Apple, no cut, together or nothing. Correct?
Absolutely.
California, we don't got that love, bro. We don't got that embrace for each other like that. It's division in the ranks here, bro. And that's what I'm telling you. That's what the rest of the states be watching. They know California niggas be in their motherfucking feelings. I'm a California nigga. They watching us being our feelings when we be reacting to this type of shit. And that's not good posture for our culture at all. We have to show more restraint. More discipline.
Perfect segue.
More maturity, more growth and development as a people.
Yeah, and perfect segue because when we think about March 9th, 1993, outside, you know, of Biggs passing, there was something monumental that happened that year. You know, of course, Biggs passed 97, but there was something monumental that happened that year, and that was the release of the Bloods and Crips Banging on Wax album, which brought, you know, the blue side and the red side together for that record. Like you said,
I had fun like a motherfucker on that project,
Tell
too.
Tell us about how you got on it, man. Please, we need that story.
That project, I had fun like a motherfucker on that project. I mean, everybody that I didn't know already through just in the streets and in the ghetto and being out in the world, outside your hood. Outside meaning being outside your hood. When you're in your hood, you safe. You ain't the shit cracking. You know who the fuck the ops is and all that. When you outside your hood is when you're vulnerable. I'll be outside.
Right.
Some motherfuckers don't never leave their hood, so they don't never got nothing to worry about.
Right.
But the norm. So with that being said, that was outside the hood shit. We outside, everybody ain't going to leave outside their hood. So it was a lot of people who got the invitation, who got the memo, and respectfully declined for whatever their reason was. I use that as my diving board to let you know I can flip. I watched it. I paid attention and watched what was going on with the projects that came before that to see where that would go for the average individual that was on it? Is this, you know what, it was it was an unknown thing. So, and even with all of that, I didn't have no mentors, no uncles, no aunties or nothing that did music or were musicians or singers. So it was all trial and error for us. Every last, you know, person other than those who had, you know, uncles and aunties that could properly advise them on the different decisions and different opportunities that came about. So, you know, hopefully I did pretty good for my first time tap dancing and shit like that, but I liked it a lot. So the more I did it, the better I got at it and shit like that. And I just happened to have the right circle of friends, the right circle of partners that do that type of shit, that fuck with hip hop for real. And the memo came down the line through the phones and shit like that. It's like, how this nigga get my phone number? Some of that shit came through the phone. And it was an invitation to come to a trial at a studio. And so when I went with like 4 or 5 of the homies and shit like that. Big mistake. I take 4 or 5 of my homies with me. Everybody else that got the invitation, meaning the MC out of that hood, everybody from Fudgetown don't rap. I'm the motherfucker that rap. So it was my invitation. I just took 4 or 5 homies with me on the California culturally be safe, because I know it's going to be some other motherfuckers here. Pretty sure I'm going to run into some opposition here. Yeah, let me take right. what I need. Let me take my, you know, let me take my quarterback, and let me take my wide receiver, and let me take a couple running backs with me and a couple linebackers with me, because I know what the playing field is like. I shouldn't have did that, because the homies was getting into it with each other, but all of the niggas that was MCs that was from the different hoods, both Blood and Crip, whatever, gangster name, nobody wasn't tripping with each other off none of that. We was more so, we had something in common that we liked either more than gangbanging or just the same. So that was tonight. That night, it was more, hip-hop was more important that night for a lot of us. So the next time it was time to meet up, niggas didn't bring their homies with them, because I know my homies was going to spoil the fun for me. I'm going to have to do some gangbanging. I can't do no MCing, no rapping or nothing, no getting the cypher and create some shit. I ain't finna be able to do none of that shit with the homies, because they going to be on some brown rag, crippin', mafia, what's happening with it, what it do. They going to be on where you from. They going to be on all that. Damn, I can't even take y'all nowhere. So secret joke to myself, like, damn, I can't take the homies nowhere with. No, I can't, not when I'm doing something like that. So as a young nigga, I understood there's certain motherfuckers that you just can't take certain. You can take them some places, but you can't take them everywhere.
Yeah.
With that being said, when it was time to get in the cypher and do the shit, and it was the pass the mic shit, like anything else, Donnie struck a match and the match went out. Those who couldn't carry their weight, who didn't have the wordplay and the metaphor, who didn't have the skill to be one of the ones that was picked, didn't, and those that did. I was one of the ones who had the skills with the wordplay that got picked. I did the shit.
Man, a little shout to you. You know, shout to A-Love. We had him on last year. Shout out to Finloke. Shout out to Danny Girl. You know, Bloody Mary, rest in peace.
Shout out to Finloke. Shout out to Danny Girl, my C-Notes, my keyways in the business.
Yeah, man. That was in 1993, you know, for us out here. That was just huge.
Shout out to Compton and Long Beach, Eastside, Westside,
yes,
all that
man.
Good shit. California, thumbs up.
Hey, I want to ask you this too, man. But did you guys, now, you know, not without mentioning any names, did you have any popular or, you know, more known rappers that wanted to get on the Bang of the Wax, but either the label refused to let them on, or were they just afraid, in your opinion?
My opinion, I would just go back to say this. I would never say that nobody was afraid. I would say that whoever got the memo and respectfully declined had their own specific reasons for not engaging with it. I would say that because, truthfully, those who didn't fuck with it, I didn't have a, let me call and see why this nigga ain't fucking with it type shit. I didn't have the notion to do that. It was like, well, whoever own it, own it. Whoever not own it, I'm on it. I ain't tripping. So I don't think it was them being afraid. At least I wouldn't use the word afraid or whatever, you know, just out of, because I know what type of impact words carry. So I wouldn't use the word afraid. But I don't know of any MCs that respectfully declined, you know, that to my knowledge that didn't get on it because they was afraid or whatever. I think whoever got the memo and, you know, was asked or, you know, got a chance to, you know, if you like to be on it, be on it. And they said no. I think whoever said no for whatever their own personal reasons was.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah, that's
gotcha.
What I think. That's how I feel about it. Those who did, you know, got on it for whatever their personal reasons was, like, you know, with any of the rest of us, you know. We was, you know, that was, you know, everybody get their own window into, you know, whatever it is that they trying to do. They stumble up on what they trying to do, whatever way that they can. That was our, those of us that got on that particular project, that was our way of getting into the public eye to show, to put our talents on display, to put our skill set, you know, there. To be heard, to be seen, to be counted as one.
I mean, and I mean, Bronco, this is momentous because we now interviewed two people that were involved with that, of course, so you and Aaron. So you and him telling that story of how it came together on one of, to me, the greatest rap albums ever made, just for what it meant bringing both sides of the flag together to create unity, you know, in terms of just, you know, showing it can be done was a movement in itself. You all are part of history, and nobody can take that away from you. And for that,
true,
we have to thank you all for what you gave us as a culture, showing what is possible when cooler heads prevail, and it's all about the composition of the pen rather than the loading of the clip to let it rip. But you all fit it in a whole different way, you know, bringing it to the masses.
Absolutely.
We can't thank you enough for that. We cannot thank y'all enough for that.
I appreciate you just even acknowledging my existence, because out of everybody and anybody, you didn't have to notice me. You could have passed right by me and went over me and went to the next somebody. So just having a split second of your attention to be acknowledged as one of the ones is very humbling in its own self. So I appreciate you more than words could say, bro. Truly I do. There's a lot of MCs out in the world. You know, some are recognized and some aren't. I appreciate it being one of the ones that are being recognized by you guys. I appreciate it a lot. Much love.
And, of course, shout out to June, dog. Yeah, because, I mean, you and him.
Oh, super. Shout out to June. I stay in the lab with June, dog. Me, just be looking on, be on the lookout for some with me and June, dog, and Bad Luck and Snoopy Blue. And then be on the lookout for me and June, dog, and Squeak Rue. Like, I've been getting it in. We've been getting it in, bro. We got new music and everything. So y'all in for a treat. You know, if y'all fuck with us like that, y'all in for a treat, a real nice treat, bro.
Oh, we do, and we're waiting for y'all to send us those that music when y'all done with it, because we definitely got to put in
absolutely.
So you know how
absolutely
of us on that, yes.
Absolutely, I appreciate y'all, bro. Thank you for having me too.
Man, thank you so much.
Yeah, we definitely enjoyed the build, man, and let people know where they can find you at, man.
Well, my Instagram got hacked a couple months ago, and I was just so disgusted with the dude telling me, you know, give him $50 and he'd give me my page back. I told him to pull up and I'd give him $100. So, yeah, I know how that turned out. He didn't even think about pulling up. He was on some bullshit. So I just felt like, why make another one? If he could take that one in some kind of way that easy and then go there with the bullshit, he can take another one. So until we can figure out the glitches and the glitches in that, I'll just be on Facebook doing my shit, you know. Music is always on YouTube and stuff like that, Spotify, Pandora, all of the streaming platforms and shit like that. You could just tap in my name and the shit, and a whole bunch of shit gonna come. At least the most latest and the most current shit with me, you could tap in Bronco, BRONCOE, the Nationwide Rip Riders, the Banging on Waxes, and all of the features that I've done this year. I probably done about 7 or 8 features this year from the beginning of the year all the way till now. So before the end of the year, it's October, so before the end of this year, be looking for 2 singles from me. 2 singles,
okay,
2 videos.
Okay.
No doubt. Yeah.
Along with the two songs that me and June Dog got, one with Squeak Rue and one with Snoopy Blue. So that's 4. Before the end of the year, it'll be 4 that y'all see me in.
Definitely.
2 to the neck by myself and 2 with the homies.
For sure.
Absolutely, bro. A lot of new music.
Yeah, I was wanting to let you know about your page, too, man. I hit you up early before we got on the air about your page because I was like, okay, this is one of them, that Forex shit they doing.
Happened to be some dude in Nigeria, and I told him, pull up, you can get 50, I'll give you 100. Pull up. Gotcha.
We in the hood, and we know what that 100 means.
Yeah, absolutely. I got 100 for you, don't trip. got a hoodie for you, or just for you. Rip the whole top of the rip the whole top of the spaceship off. You know, rip the whole top of the space, turn your motherfucking shit into a convertible.
But yeah, man,
no red bottom, red
film,
top.
Man, we definitely appreciate you on. You're welcome to come through in the near future if you have any other projects. We definitely gonna keep in touch with you, man, on building on other things.
Yes, sir.
And pushing that line for you.
Appreciate you, loved one. Appreciate you a lot. Remember, everybody that's listening, before with any type of color you could put on, any type of fabric, anything, we black people first, y'all. Don't never forget that shit, because that's been part of the problem. We've been forgetting that we black people first.
Absolutely.
You heard it from me. You heard it from me. I'm a Crip. You heard it from me. We black first. Before we could put any type of rag, shoestrings, hat, any type of anything, any type of clothing at all, we black people first.
Word,
that's
word,
a fact,
word.
Man. We leave it with that message, man. So we definitely going to keep in touch, man. So you have a blessed
night,
man.
Absolutely, bro. I appreciate
y'all. For the bill.
Yes, sir. Do the same.
All right. Yes, sir. We at hour number 2. Oh, Off the Cuff Radio. We about to take a little music break. We about to play the joint, How to Survive, the remix, featuring Young Lot, E-40, Mitchy Slick. And when we come back, we're going to bring them on. So let's get it.
Yep.
Let's get it.
The mechanic. This is how it is on the West Coast. How to survive in the Bay, man. This is how it is on the West Coast. Why is that? First off, fuck the bitch in the clique you claim. Frisco, West Side, yeah, that shit won't change. And I'm still outside with my heater. You a op, then I wouldn't wanna be ya. Put some respect on my name and my city. Niggas must be crazy if they think they fucking with me. Couple hitters by my side of Leo Black shitty. Don't stop squeezing till the whole Glock empty. But, lesson number 1, keep a strap. Lesson number 2, never break. Lesson number 3, fuck the internet. Can't slide through if you ain't from them jets.
How to survive in the Bay, man, you gotta stay out the way, man. You gotta know how to wiggle and get up out of the pickle. You gotta play your position, too many cooks in the kitchen. Too many crabs in the bucket, you gotta check, better tuck it. Out on the west where it's wicked, bitches got more game than niggas. They'll line you up with a caper if they short on a yaper. Ain't nobody playing on the west, bitch, I thought you knew. Best believe it's somebody out there that's tougher than you. I just mind my business and stay my ass out the way. I stay out the way so I won't get in the way. When you're trending in the trenches, that's a gift and a curse. Don't let that thing go through your head, they'll put you up in a hearse. They're playing with your missiles from 5-6s and .2. You can see it in their eyes, it's hella goblins and ghouls.
Cool.
Try to survive up in my region. Up in the gladiator tank with the heathen.
With the heathen.
Can't be hella extra, don't be reaching.
Don't be reaching.
Cause I end up leaking somewhere bleed.
Somewhere bleed.
Bitch.
This is how it is on the West Coast. Our business in a trend with us. We ain't like you other rap niggas.
Why is that?
Because we live where we breath, nigga. This is how it is on the West Coast. Our business in a trend with us. We ain't like you other rap niggas.
Why is that?
Because we live where we breath, nigga.
How to survive, you stay strapped with a 9.
With
and
a
never
nine.
Pull over for the jackers of the one time. This Frisco, you better pack a pistol.
Yeah.
Rolling through his, let me make that clear.
Real.
Acting shady, yeah, that maybe get you rolled up.
Rolled
and if
up.
You stop by the cops, never fold up. Got it sold up, niggas pushing packs on the daily. And been doing that since the 80s.
Yeah.
Cause crack babies, running through the city, going main. Running niggas down, this shit is crazy.
Real.
But this survival, knocking down rivals. Yeah. Running in the Jones and adios on the 5-0.
How to survive the Southeast, better have a big old piece. If not, I get your forehead creased. Be out here, telepoliticking. Even the niggas that be internet banging, been on a lot of missions. And you better watch your women. Cause even though we know for blood and crippin', we know about some pimping. And you better not snooze on Imperial, you made it from the coast. The skyline, that was a miracle. 30s and the 40s ain't blue. They just right there, my safe zone is deep to the view. Lose a life there. And don't be pulling up on bitches you don't really know. She living Bay Vista, Meadowbrook, nigga, you shouldn't go. The beach is Shamu, that's bull, but get it misconstrued. Wanna sneak to the fish market, end up missing jewels.
Yeah.
You might can function in the gas lamp,
yes,
but you better say you no slick, cause you fool without a pass, champ.
This is how it is on the West Coast. Our business in a trend with us. We ain't like you other rap niggas.
Why is that?
Because we live where we breath, nigga. This is how it is on the West Coast. Our business in a trend with us. We ain't like you other rap niggas.
Why is that?
Because we live where we breath, nigga.
Off the Cuff Radio. That was How to Survive Remix. And T-Max, I'm going to let you do the honors and talk about our guests and who we bringing on for the night.
Man, look, this dude right here, we were doing it down in Southern California. So now we taking it to the north. We doing it for the 831, the 707, the 209, the 510. I mean, you know, it's when you think about the Bay, y'all, when you think about the whole Northern California area, whether Sacramento, mobbing in that 916, you know, or just doing it how you doing the town in general. You know, you got the hills, the flats, Highland, you know, Vallejo, shit, you know, Filmo, Hunters Point, where our guest is from. You think about what it means to hustle, to have heart, to hold the heat in the street, you know, and how to maneuver. This man right here, you know, he's definitely somebody who has lived it as he has fit it, who's as authentic and real as they come, hell of an MC, even better purse. San Francisco, we do this for y'all. Young Lot is with us. Let's get it. Welcome, man.
What's going on with it? What's going on?
What's going What's on good, brother?
Man, how y'all doing? Let me get somewhere where y'all can hear me, man. How y'all doing, though?
Hey, we good.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate y'all having me, man. Oh, gee, I can come back here. Oh,
man, look, we're happy to have you. Look, yo, when we first saw you on
can
that joint with that, yeah, we can hear
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay.
Man, when we first heard that joint, How to Survive, we were like, we need him on the show. We need him on the show. We got to have him on the show.
Come on, man. Come on,
ooh,
man. That's what it is.
That was a flamethrower, man. Whoa. I mean, coming from NorCal, man. I mean, tell us all about yourself. You know, how you got on the mic. You know, inspiration. How you got everybody together?
Well, shit, man, you feel me? Just being locked in, man, you feel me? I like to call it relationships, man. You know, like, you know, fuck the, you know, I mean, we got to get to the money, but it's about relationships, man. You know, coming up where I'm from, you feel me, the Bay, like, we big on relationships, man. We big on connecting with real ones, you feel me? So how that came about was my Uncle T Animal hooked me up, you feel me, with Fody. You feel me? They've been, you know, long-time friends over there. They've been long-time friends for a long time, family, and, he was like, man, 40 known me for a long time, too, you feel me? Because I used to be signed with DeRoe Music, you feel me, out of the South.
Okay.
I don't know if y'all heard of him. Y'all heard of DeRoe Music?
Not off
the DeRoe Music.
About
yeah.
The one at the ice cream paint job.
Okay, yeah, DeRoe, yeah, from Texas.
Yeah,
from Texas. So I used to be signed with him, you feel me? Like, man, you know, when he first, you feel me, took off. You feel me, or whatnot. So, you know, man, I've been beating up the streets doing my own shit. You feel me? Like, making noise, you know, where I'm from in the Bay. Frisco, Hunters Point, to be exact. I've been doing it for a long time, though, man. But that's how that shit really came together, man. My Uncle T Animal put that play together with me and Fody. You know, Black C is on that thing from RBL Posse. He's from the hood where I'm from. So, you know, like, that's how I connected that. And then Mr. Slick, man, you know, he stays fucking with us, you know, like, even though he's from San Diego. But San Francisco. Yeah. You feel me? He's from Dago, man. You feel me? So, you know, Slick been fucking with the point for many moons. You feel me? So it's like a second home to him. You feel me? When he come to Frisco. And then I had Glasses Malone on it. You feel me? And that's the homie, too. So, man, we just all locked in like that, man. I've been wiggling and beating up these streets for a long time, man.
Man, look. You all came together to create a rocket with that. I got a shout-out, of course. Give an extra big shout-out to San Diego, Lincoln Park. Shout-out to CJ. You know, Meatface, Mob Boss, Mitchie, Oso, you know, of course, Ryan Anthony out there, man. I mean, 619, do a big all the time, man. Keeping it, you know, all the way live out there, man. Shout out to my
real shit,
man.
And I don't want to leave nobody out, though. E, you feel me? So, man, my brother, man, that's on the talk box, man, West Coast Stone, man. Shout out to West Coast Stone and the Mechanics,
yeah,
man,
we,
from Oakland, California, man.
Yeah,
producing that motherfucker.
We had a bill with them a long time ago.
Yeah, tell Forax and Kenny we need him back on the show. Tell him we need him back. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And I mean, of course, West Coast Stone, all those, you know, those guys, you know, great individuals, super talented musicians, you know, we've been blessed to interview both of them. You know, well, of course, Mechanics and West Coast Stone, both of them in terms of it. So tell us about what was your introduction into rap, Young, in terms of what made you want to MC, and tell us about that deal about how you ended up with Darrow on the first run of everything.
Man, so with Darrow on the first run, man, it's a trip, right? Like, I was making noise, man, this shit was about, like, I want to say, like, about 15 years ago. I was making noise, you know, where I'm from in my region, Northern California and whatnot, and Blood came up here, man, you feel me, in a van, you feel me, with his brothers and shit, you feel me, like, he came up to the Bay, man, in a van, man, I'm like, man, I fuck with this nigga, right, and it was crazy, because they was DJ Man, and Big Vine, which is, you know, big DJ from where I'm from, up here, you feel me, in Northern California, was spinning the fuck out of his record. And I was like, I'm like, man, who the fuck is this? This sounds like some bass shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, who is this? And like, you feel me, and it was crazy because Blood was right there, you feel me, when I was talking to him. You feel me, and it was like, he like, man, that's me. I'm like, man, fuck, nah, that ain't true. I'm like, nigga, this sounds like some bass shit. You feel me? So he was like, man, that's me, you feel me? So, man, we just ended up connecting like that, man. Me and Darrow, like, man, you feel me? Then clicked up, you feel me? Up. Ever since that happened, you feel me? Like, man, that's my brother, you feel me? Like, man, wish that brother nothing but greatness, man. You feel me? Like, man, I appreciate everything he's done for a nigga. You know what I'm saying? And, I'm just doing what I'm doing, man. I love doing this shit. I've been doing this shit since I was 12. So, I just love doing this shit.
Oh, wow.
That's all I'm doing. So.
Now, in terms of the Bay, when we think about the history of it, there are the monumental figures, the Mount Rushmore, you know. Of course, it starts with E-40. Well, not E-40, I mean Too Short. Starts with Uncle Short. Then we get into Mac Dre. We get into Richie Rich. We get into E-40, you know.
Right.
So you're looking at all of that history there. And shout out to my homegirl, Taisha, stay out, you know, in 60s. And she was saying about how, you know, because she's been up to y'all town, man. And she's like, there is no hustle like there is in the Bay in terms of how y'all move, in terms of the music to
right.
everything else. Hunter's Point is also a distinguishing place because that's where O.J. Simpson is from as well. So you all
have that innate
way of surviving. But it's not just relegated to just Hunter's Point in terms of San Francisco, because you got so many others. You got Boo Banga, you got Big Rich, of course San Quinn, Rapping Forte, you know, Andre Nicotina.
That's the field motor.
San Francisco, yeah, all of it, man. You know, so it's like all in general just, you know what I'm saying, you know, resonate great. What is it like to know that you come from such a distinguished culture, such a proud tradition of legendary MCs?
Could you repeat that again? I couldn't really hear you. Went in and out on that last.
What is it? How does it feel to know that you're carrying on the legacy and the legendary of such notable and distinguished legends out there, in terms of you're following in the footsteps that they laid? Well, not even following, because you've been doing it for so long, but maintaining that tradition and being part of that fabric of legendary. How does it feel?
Man, to be honest, man, it's a blessing. You know, like, because all them cats that you named off, I really know them cats. It ain't just, you know, through this music shit. It's really, like, coming up, growing up. You know, matter of fact, we just did this Stop the Violence Peace Prevention Rally like a few days, and I was on the panel with Big Rich, RBL, Posse, and a few others, you feel me, that's your name. And, you know, like I said, it's just a blessing to be up here with these brothers, you feel me, knowing the adversity and the struggles that we all been through coming up out of San Francisco, California, because, you know, San Francisco, California get overlooked, man, a lot. You know, and like you said, it's a lot of great individuals that come from San Francisco, California, but we just don't get our just due. And, you know, I'm not saying that to be sounding like, you know, nigga begging for no sympathy or no empathy or none of that, but it's just real shit. A lot of game rain up out of that San Francisco, California.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's definitely something to be known about it, you know, in terms of when you look at it. I mean, even with the pimping out there, when you look at legends like Phil Mo Slim and all those guys come out of there. So it's definitely known for a lot.
Right.
Pretty much when you put your first project together in terms of the music, what was it like in terms of those early days of creation, getting an opportunity to put out your, you know, your project? Tell us about the first one that you did in terms of what your vision was and what you wanted to bring to the table.
So, my thing, what I always wanted to bring to the table was something new, like, you know, and I also was just giving everybody, like my family really called me like the voice of the streets, because I give you, you know, what's going on in the streets, like, because I really experienced it. So the shit that I'm giving you, I either experienced it, I lived it, been through it, or I seen it happen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm not no news reporter. I don't just pop up when shit happens. But I you feel me? I either was there and I can rap about it, or I lived it. You feel what I'm saying? So what I bring to the table, man, I bring energy, I bring motivation, I bring inspiration, and I feel like I bring substance to the game. You know, it's not a lot of substance in this game no more. So, you know, if you had to put me on a plate, man, I'm definitely steak and potatoes.
Where do you think the game changed a lot in terms of how the music began to kind of not necessarily, and it's not all hip-hop, because a lot of it, like you and so many others, are still keeping it real, but we've seen what's being marketed now for being popular isn't necessarily the best representation. Where do you think in the game it started to change?
I want to say when the internet struck. When the internet took over, because, when the internet happened, game changed a whole lot. Like, if I had the internet back when I was a young nigga, then I'd be further along. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of niggas would be further along if they had the internet like they got it today. You know what I'm saying? Because now it don't take much to really get heard or get seen. You could be anybody the fuck you want to be now. Like, you know, niggas don't even, like, you know, you don't even get block tested or approved no more. You know what I'm saying? Niggas could be whoever they want to be on this internet.
There's a whole
That's
bunch
true.
Of levels of goofiness going on, man. Like, you can camouflage and be whatever. You can go ahead and come up there with prop money. The 10 is a whole stack. And you can be any of the character that you want.
Man, anybody, man. You know, I'm not knocking, you know, what's going on. Because, I mean, I love what's going on. Don't get me wrong, because it makes it a little bit easier. But also, it changed a lot of rules to this game. That's why me, the youngsters ain't respecting the older niggas, and the older niggas ain't respecting the youngsters, and that's why we all fucked up right now as a people.
Yeah. When we think about it today, like, when we look at what's going on, like you said, the internet, what we're seeing now is, shout out to Uncle Rich, you know, we had him on a couple times, and he broke down
right.
to us what the rules were when you were coming up in the town, you know, rapping, because it was something
right.
that, especially for a lot of OGs getting behind you, but their thing was, you wasn't getting in the studio in terms of putting out any music until they knew you were right, because there's just a
Real
different
life.
Type of brand. Yeah, you know, and it's just a different type of brand than when you come from Frisco or Oakland, you know, Vallejo,
right.
You know, of course, San Jose, 408. Young homie out there, you know, Drew Deasy representing heavy out there. Shout out to Big Drew. You know, so it's like, it's something that you really, it's just something extra with y'all out there. That it really needs something to get your music out. When we look at the sonic landscape.
Need to be heard, man.
Yeah. When you look at a lot of the artists, of course, Mac Dre, one of my favorites ever. And Mac Dre is a legend out there, because obviously you all knew him or knew of him. Why
right.
was Mac
right.
such a force in Northern California, the Bay Area in general? What made him so legendary that influenced all of you?
Just, man, his creativeness, man, his genuineness, you feel me? Like, man, Mac was pure, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Mac wasn't doing nobody else, man. He was doing Mac, you know what I'm saying? And he made motherfuckers, like, he didn't make motherfuckers love him, because, you feel me, he was just one of them type of niggas, man. You know, I got to meet him once. You know what I'm saying? And Hot Dog is nice, man. And the nigga embraced me. He was like Jack. Jack and Mac was like two of the same to me. Just, you know, two different niggas. You know, mm-hmm. like, they always embrace niggas with love. And you feel me? I learned a lot of that from, you feel me, from them brothers. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to show love to get love, man.
Yeah. In terms of E-40, because you and him have such a history, E-40 is one of, you know, our favorite MCs ever. And he is an MC. For those who don't know, you know, Earl Stevens is just every bit the MC of everybody. You know, Course, D-Shot, D-Legit, you know, Sugar T, the whole stick with it. Great to see tradition carried on with Droopy, a.k.a. Droopiter, to see him getting into the game, producing and doing it for such a long time. What, in terms of getting, what was that first meeting like when you were 40 first clicked up so many years ago?
Say that again?
What was that meeting like when you met 40 for the first time years back in terms of when y'all clicked up? What was that like?
Man, it was crazy, man, because it's like I grew up on 40. I mean, you know, like my mama used to play E-40. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, pops played E-40, so. That's one of my mama's favorite rappers. Matter of fact,
Parents
that is my mother's favorite rapper besides me. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if motherfuckers really pay attention, but I brought my mama, you feel me, and my pops with me when we shot that video. You feel me? I didn't bring nigga the block. I didn't bring my niggas from the block. I didn't bring nothing. I brought my mother and my father. And 40 was like, man, I fuck with you, like.
Oh, wow.
You solid. You know what I'm saying? You solid. I said, man, I had to do that, man. You feel me? My mama who put me on these, huh? You know what I'm saying?
That's
so,
love right
you know,
there.
It's just like, and meeting him for the first time back then, like, it was just a quick little handshake. But this time when we met, it was off my business. You get what I'm saying? So it meant even that much more, you know what I'm saying? And get to do that, experience that shit with my mother and my father and 40, man, that was some monumental shit for me. You know what I'm saying? And me and 40 talk like almost every day now. You know what I'm saying?
Same with Plug Lot. Tell 40 we would love to have him on the show if he'll come on. We're just saying.
Hey, I definitely drop. Hey, I can't make no promises, but I definitely drop a plug in his ear, man. You feel me?
Definitely. Look, hey, you
and we gonna treat
him.
We gonna give him the whole. We gonna give him the whole table. You know how they do in the Mafioso movies when the OG come in. We gonna give him the whole table straight up. Pay for champagne, everything.
Look, surf and turf,
right?
Everything. When you decided to make this a career, Lot, what was it like to have the support of your parents? Because so many, you know, young artists who come in don't always have that support or encouragement. What was it like to your parents there really, really support you in terms of what you wanted to do?
Well, first and foremost, like, you know, just to clear that up, man, like, I mean, I always had my mother in my corner, you feel me? Like, my father, you feel me? Like, I got my father now, you feel me? And it's a beautiful thing, you feel me? But my pops, man, was going off drugs and shit, you feel me, in the streets, you feel me? But
right.
I got him back now, so I try not to, you know, elaborate too much on the negative shit. I try to talk about the positive side, but, man, like, having my mother, you feel me, and my pops now, you feel me? Like, on the upside, man, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, you know, it's a lot of niggas that miss that. You know what I'm saying? And ain't able to have that. You feel me? So, I take that shit into big consideration because a lot of people don't have that, man. You feel me? And just to have my parents in my life, you feel me, still standing by niggas, you feel me, through all the shit that I've been through. And man, you feel me? I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world, big bro.
Definitely. What is it like in terms of people? In terms of when you see a lot of artists out there who try to talk about the experience of the street but actually living it? How important is it for artists to understand that it's okay to not necessarily have to be street related in your rhymes? That you can articulate yourself, you can express yourself in a fashion that is just authentic for your life. You know, we look online, everybody, you know, it's like everybody's like the biggest dope dealer, everybody's a shooter, you know, everybody supposedly is his boss, and we know that's not the case for everybody, because everybody's upbringing ain't the same with it.
Nah, it's definitely not the case no more. we're not even in a proving stage no more. Like, when I was coming up, you had to really prove yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, you couldn't even come outside. You feel me? The OGs would get on your ass if, you feel me, like, nigga, what you doing, nigga, right now? Nigga, you need to be at school. Nigga, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't like that no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't no you got to prove who you is type shit now. But even though it's a lot of followers now, it's not a lot of leaders. You know, a lot of people just following others. You know what I'm saying? They following others thinking that shit cool. You know, and you know, we all victim of the shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I rap about certain shit that it transpired. I rap about certain shit that, like I said, I lived, I seen, or I did. You feel me? And I know a lot of motherfuckers say that because that's what this rap shit, it consists of. Like, oh, man, they want to hear that. But, man, if you really listen a lot, you really a fan a lot, you know I don't hear that shit to you all the time. I'm giving you real game on how this life go. Like, you know how to up yourself in your life. You know what I'm saying? Get your shit together. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it could be ugly this way. It could be beautiful, too. But it's about what you choose and what you going, how you going to make your life, because it's your decision.
Absolutely.
Too many blinds leading the blind.
Say that again?
It's too many blind people leading the blind.
Yeah, definitely, man. Pac said it best, man. The blind leading the blind. Real talk. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, man, it's unfortunate, man, because we losing a lot of potential leaders, man. You feel me? Like, man, people don't know, man. You feel me? Black people, man, we the most powerful people in the world. But we don't recognize it. Man, the world want to do everything we do. You know what I'm saying? They want to do everything we do. I heard the brother, you feel me, that he said he was a Crip, right? You feel me on here? He was like, man, but we black first. You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
Real shit. You know what I'm saying? That's real talk. Like, we is black first. You feel me? Nigga, that's the color. But to make it get a little deeper, no, we not black. You feel me? That black is just a color. That's an absence of color. You know what I'm saying? That's something that they said that we is. You feel me? We Hebrews. You know what I'm saying? That's what we is. We are the chosen people. We the indigenous people. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. When you think about the new generation coming out of the Bay Area, who are some of the people in your town representing Frisco that you really rocking with? Who's coming out? Who's coming up?
Say that again.
In terms of your part of the town in Frisco, who's some of the new artists out there coming up that you really rock with?
That I really rock with, or that's coming up now?
Well, who's coming up that you really rock with, or just who's making the come up in general?
Oh, I mean, I rock with my whole hood, man. You know, like, I'm not one of them. See, me, I'm different, man, and I know a lot of niggas be like, oh, man, that nigga say he rock with everybody, and everybody don't get along. But see, that's me. I stand out like a sore thumb. Don't follow niggas. I always been a leader. That's why I'm still here at doing what I love to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not one of them niggas that say, I don't fuck with niggas. I don't fuck with them niggas because them niggas from over there. Nah, nigga, I got love over there. I got love where you at. You feel me? Why? Because niggas respect me, or I done got down over there, and niggas know who I am. And I ain't never been on no sucker shit. So, really, I fuck with my whole hood. I fuck with the whole city. Now, do the whole city fuck with Lot? I don't know. I can't answer that. But at the end of the day, I really don't give a fuck. You feel me? Because, man, God brought me in this motherfucker, and I'm going to shine like the star that I am.
And that's important to have that type of, you know, resolve, you know, and that confidence doing what you do. As you've gotten doing your music over the years, Lot, how important is it for you, and how important is it for artists in general to really, really connect with the audience out there in terms of really being among the people, knowing what everybody wants to hear in the street, and just being approachable, not always accessible, because you can't give everybody accessibility, but you can be approachable in terms of respect. Some artists don't understand that, some do. How important is it in terms of maintaining your presence and respecting the hood, you know, being approachable and being, you know, semi-available in terms of talking to people just about town politics?
Right. I mean, you know, your network is only big as your network, man. You feel me? Real talk. If you don't network, that's just going to show you, feel me, how big your network will ever be. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, it ain't always about money. It's about relationships. So, I mean, I understand you can't be friends with everybody. We ain't made to be friends with everybody. But at the end of the day, it's like if we hitting on the same frequency, and you know, we can talk and we talking about some real shit, then we gonna lock in. But if you ain't on no real shit, we might don't lock in. You know what I'm saying? And like, I don't care how you feel at the end of the day, because I gotta keep me right. You know what I'm saying? I gotta go home to my family at the end of the day. You feel me? I might don't vibe with you at the end of the day. You know? But that's just how it is, man. You know, like, and that's why we got a lot of confusion out here, man. It's just like a lot of people trying to make things, trying to force things, and sometimes you can't force shit. Like, you feel me? Like the How to Survive G-Mix. Niggas ask me how that shit came about. That's God. That's aligning with the stars. You know what I'm saying? Like that, you feel me? You would never hear 40 and Missy Slick and Black C from RBL Posse on one song. You'd never hear that. With Glasses Malone. You'd never hear that. You feel me? God did that. Young Lot did that. I put that shit together.
What was it like reaching out to Kenny Tweed, you know, Four Racks and the Mechanics? How did you, I mean, because those guys are just unbelievable in terms of, I mean, when you just look at some of their production credits over the years, and I was a little late getting on them, but the first song I ever heard from them was from years back. Rest in Peace, Slim 400. It was Mozzie's Hit and Run. This is back in 2016 when I first really, really, really got up on them. And, of course,
right.
You know, Jay Stylin was on it. And I was like, wow. You know, and I went back in the catalog and I was like, okay, these niggas like really got some flappers in the clip.
Definitely.
How did that relationship come about?
With me and Mozzie?
Well, with the Mechanics. I mean, if you know Mozzie too, please tell us that story,
man,
as well.
Man,
we fuck with Mozzie heavy.
Yeah, yeah. Now me and Paul Rex, man, that's like my brother, man. That's my Sagittarius brother, man. We've been rocking for a lot. Like I said, man, just being outside, young niggas being outside with the big homies, man, watching the big homies get down and, you know, and seeing how they move, you feel me? And that showed us how to move, man. And now we the pioneers of this shit. You know what I'm saying? Now we becoming the pioneers of this shit just by watching our big homies and watching, the older ones that did it before us, that laid the foundation. You know, but, man, that's my brother, man. I love him and Tweed, man. You feel me? Like, man, them brothers is They the most slept on producers, man, out of the fucking Bay Area, if you ask me. They one of them for sure.
Man, those guys are fucking insane on them tracks, man. I mean,
yeah, them boys, man, is shit. They miracle workers, man. You feel me?
Look, I mean, it's an extension of what Helen Keller did, you know. For those who know that story, the miracle worker, because I mean, for some of the stuff that they've done, you know, especially really. Expanding on the mob sound, you know, heavy drums, well, heavy bass rather, you know, hand snares. It just, when you hear them, it's not just for Oakland per se, it's for all of Northern Cali. They just encompass that whole essence of what it means to really be out on the block doing what you do. Of course, you got guys, you know, representing Oakland, you know, Shy the Filthy, representing Cemetery, you know, you got, you know, Jay Stylin, you know, you got Stevie Joe, Lil Blood, you know, it's just so many of y'all from Frisco to Oakland. I mean,
definitely. And don't forget
all,
about Richmond, you know, Richmond, man, that's what I'm saying, man, the Bay.
Yeah, Richmond,
the Bay got so many motherfucking, so many people, man, it's just like, man, they, I don't know, man. Like, they come steal the game from the Bay, man, and then run with it.
Yeah, and I mean, but the thing is, people don't understand how much you all have given to us from the soil of the genius that grew from the toil. Especially when
right.
You look at your man, MB Nail. Shout out MB Nail, Money Boy Nail, representing, doing his thing. You know, I mean, it's like you all just keep blossoming all types of just, what does it mean to be town approved? Because one thing we've learned about this lot is when we see artists come out, not everybody gets to that worldwide acclaim. And you know what? I tell any artist coming up in the game, we've interviewed so many, you may be, you may be well known, you may be hood known. But my thing is, the music that your music is supposed to reach is who it's supposed to get to, and as long as they genuinely respect and support, that's all that matters.
Right.
And one thing about it is, I think everybody talks about how, you know, when they don't always get that support from the hood, it's like, man, niggas is hating. Niggas is trying to hold me back. Shout out to Rusty Jux. We had him on the show some years back, and Rusty said something that was so simple, yet it was so on point. Can't nobody stop you from doing what you want to do.
No, you in your own way, man. You feel me? I learned that. That's what I'm saying. And that shit takes time, man. Like, you got to put the work in, man. You feel me? Like, any nigga that's complaining and you 30-something, bro, it ain't nobody hating on you, nigga. It's you. You feel me? Like, nigga, if you don't work, you don't eat. You know what I'm saying? If you don't get up and you don't feed yourself, nigga, you gonna starve. You know?
Right.
Like, real life, man. That's just real life, man. You feel me? Matter of fact, I'm about to make that a shirt. If you don't feed yourself, nigga, you gonna starve.
That's a. I mean, that's a message. And that's
you
something
know,
where
real
I think
life.
About it. Yeah.
That's 1 + 1, man. That's what equal 2. That's simple math.
Absolutely. So tell us about your new project that you got working on right now.
Man, definitely, man. I just dropped that Lot Pack Big. I don't know if y'all up on that, man, but that got the that has the remix on it. Not the one. Matter of fact, it has the remix on it, but the one with Glasses Malone. Man, you feel me? Shout out
okay.
My brother Glasses Malone, man. I know he wanted to really be a part of that video, but I know he was going through some family things. So, man, you know, shout out to, you feel me, big brother, man, Glasses Malone. And, you know, we
Watch
got a lot
up.
Of shit. We got
meet
a video
him a couple
out there.
Times.
Yeah,
we
got
times. Great guy.
Yeah, man, you know, we got a song out there called Keep It On Me featuring Lil Bean. Y'all can go check that out too, man. But I just dropped the album Lot Pack Big October 22nd. You feel me? That just dropped. You feel me? And now I'm working on the last season. I'm getting ready to drop, you feel me, 12/12/22.
Okay. And what was the process in terms of you putting it together, in terms of how you wanted to really, because I know for each album, for each project, you have a different vision for. What was the vision for what you just dropped and what you're about to drop?
So, man, basically the vision on the Lot Pack Big, man, it was just like, why not put myself amongst the greats? You know, and even though they're not here no more, but I looked up to Biggie. I looked up to Pac. And, you know, like, I want to put myself on that pedestal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to push myself up. If nobody else don't believe in me, I'm going to believe in me. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And I feel like I'm a great. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. My mama said, they're telling me I'm great all my life. So, you know, and obviously that means something because, you feel me, I'm on this interview talking to y'all, and the world fuck with me is the same. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, you just got to put that work in. You got to show them that you're great. Show them who you are. You feel me? Michael Jordan didn't just become Michael Jordan in one night. You feel me? Floyd Mayweather just didn't become Floyd Mayweather in one night. You know what I'm saying? Stephen Curry didn't just become Steph, you feel me, just by putting up 15 shots. No, he shot that ball a million times.
What you said, Lot, that is really something. It's called affirmations, especially
right.
For our babies coming up in the hood. How important is it for our young black children to hear that from their parents, that they are loved, that they are supported, that they are great, and that their parents will be with them, you know, through the highs and the lows? Because especially for us, we go through so much in this country, this society, the world at large.
Right.
How important is it for us to instill that confidence, that foundation, as Exhibit spoke on in his song, that support system for our children?
Right.
What does that mean what does that mean to ensure our future generation's success?
If I could tell the generation, the younger generation, anything, consistency is key. That's what builds confidence. Consistency, dedication. Hard work, you know. I understand, you know, those affirmations and sometimes can be overbearing, but long as you do it and you steady tell yourself that every day, because I steady got to tell myself that every day. I tell my 3 sons that every day. You could do it. You feel me? Don't ever think you can't. You feel me? Can't shouldn't even be in your vocabulary. You can. You feel me? Like I said, we the most powerful people on this planet. You feel me? So when you really say that shit, it's words, it's power in the tongue. And if you say, man, I can't do it, then you really ain't gonna be able to do it. It's just like doing a push up. You feel me? You don't know what you don't know what you could push up if you ain't never got on the ground and pushed that motherfucker.
Exactly. about being a father a lot, what does that mean in terms of how it is added on to your career in terms of, you know, your creative process? Because obviously, you know, you got two sons, you know, you're raising as kings, you know, from princes to carry on tradition to have a lasting legacy. What does it mean to be a father in terms of, you know, your career that, and what the responsibilities are as being an artist, secondly, and a dad first?
Man, to be a father, man, is everything to me. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought music saved my life. I'm going to say my kids saved my life. You know what I'm saying? I was looking at some real time, you feel me, when I had my first son. And God blessed me in that situation. You know, all the charges were dropped against me. And, you know, like when I got out, man, I kissed the ground. Like, and it's no lie. It's real shit. I kissed the concrete, you feel me? And I told God, like,
ain't nothing wrong with that.
If I could do anything, I just want to show my kids that it's a better way. It's a different way to do this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, my father wasn't there in my younger years, you feel me, when I was coming up. So I know what it's like, you feel me, to have an absent father in your life. You feel me? So it was just like, nah, I got to do something different. And right now, while I'm on this interview right now, I'm watching my son, my oldest son right now. He's his senior year. You feel me? He's been a linebacker right now, you feel me, at his varsity game. You feel me? I'm trying to get back to that. He just, matter of fact, just talk about it. He just got the fucking fumble. Let's go.
There it is.
Let's go. Baby, look. That's how you know right there. Affirmation, man. Believe in yourself, man. Believe in yourself,
yeah,
man. That ain't no bullshit. I wish I was
look
on FaceTime because I would show
you
all that right now.
Look at God, man. I mean,
man, come
what
on,
is it
man.
Like
he's moving.
What is it like to see him out there and knowing that as a father that you have really, 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 you're guiding him, you've continued to guide him and his brother, you know, and to know that he's still destined for great things to come. What does that feel like? What is that just, that exhilaration and all of that?
Man, it's a, like I said, I don't even know what to say. It's just a blessing. Like, you know, because, man, rest in peace, my brother, man, Psycho Mike, man, he ain't even here no more to experience this with his son, man, you know. And it's some shit that I can't even fathom to speak, man, because just to be here to see them do things that I wish I could have done, the shit is just, man, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Man, look, it's just I know that's got to be one of the greatest gifts that you have being a father. And in terms of the music, you know, I know that motivates you to go hard on whatnot. Now, you pretty much have done this on an independent level for a minute. If an opportunity came for you to go to a major, would you do it, or are you more comfortable working from the independence of releasing your products when you want to? And having your vision executed, being unobstructed by somebody else's vision.
Man, to be honest, I've been asked this question a lot, and I love being independent. Don't get me wrong, but if I had a situation presented to me that would change my family life, maybe we could talk. We could sit down. We could talk. But if it's got anything to do with me selling my soul or me doing anything that I don't agree with, they can keep that shit. You feel me? I just keep pushing the way God want me to push.
How important is it for artists lot to understand to maintain their integrity and their heart in terms of understanding that you may have a great situation come up with a major movement, but all money is not good money? Because we see artists who talk about, you know, I'm trying to get this deal. King started this 8 years ago. I've been part of it for the past five. We've been blessed to talk to so many people on air, off air, about the ins and outs of the deals in terms of signing a major or being independent. What do people have to understand about what that means in terms of having your business in order and how to really, really, really know if you're going to sign a deal, how to make sure you get the most out of it?
Make sure you got an entertainment lawyer. And when you do got an entertainment lawyer, make sure it's another lawyer watching that entertainment lawyer and another one watching that lawyer. You know, it's like this game is not to be trusted, man. It was built off of mistrust. It was built off of people not being loyal to motherfuckers. We see it all day long. I mean, they beat Michael Jackson. They beat Whitney Houston. They beat, you feel me, shit, TLC. They beat everybody, you know, all the way to the greats, you know, all the way down to, you know, like, man, people of y'all time probably coming up. You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit is repeated history. So it's like how you not get beat is man, do your homework, research. The shit is here for us now. You know what I'm saying? Can't nobody be an idiot no more. You just being lazy if you don't Google nothing.
Hmm.
You know
especially
what I'm saying?
Especially when all the information is out here already.
Yeah, the answer is out here, man. And if you can't find the answer, somebody will help you out with it. You know, just don't listen to a motherfucker telling you. Do the research yourself. Do the research yourself, man. That's one thing I learned. You feel me? I was that young dumb nigga that listened to everybody coming up. You feel me? And I had to change that narrative. You feel me? Like, nah, I'm not doing that, nigga. I'm gonna go find out for myself.
And that's important. I think a lot of people really have to understand that when you're dealing with something that is going to be your life, no matter what you do, whether you work a job or whether you get into music, which is a job in itself as well, you always want to make sure that you're going to maximize the most out of it and look at every outlet in terms of understanding that there's a plan that has to be executed. You know, when we look at guys like Nip, rest in peace. Nip had had a vision. Yes, I mean, he had such a vision in terms of what he was going to do. When you look at guys like 50 Cent, you know, with 50 in terms of how, for those that have not read the 50th Law that 50 Cent wrote with Robert Greene, you all need to read that book. From Pieces to Weight is a great book. That's 50's autobiography. But the 50th Law is basically about the hustle that 50 applied in terms of, you know, the streets and how he worked that into the industry in terms of, you know, becoming the mogul that he is. It's all about being able to understand the climate and execute. And sometimes artists out there really don't look at the whole picture. Sometimes it's not about what's present. It's about what's coming next and how do you capitalize on that to make the most of it.
Real talk. Some people just happy with being what they are, man. Like, that's the whole hype. I learned to not go over and beyond for nobody that's not going to go over and beyond for themselves. You know what I'm saying? It's just like some people was happy with, like I was just talking to one of my big cousins. I'm like, some niggas is happy to be the block monster that they is. Some people was happy to be, nigga, the king of their city, nigga. But I'm trying to be, nigga, fuck the king of the world. I don't even want to be that, nigga. I just want to be successful. I want my family taken care of. You feel me? And I don't care. Like, I've been popular all my life. Some niggas is just fighting to be popular. You know what I'm saying? Like, these niggas doing this shit just to be seen. Like, you feel me? And to be heard, because they never been heard. Nobody listened to them niggas. You feel me? Nobody never listen to their story or what shit like that. Some niggas just want to, man, they, you know, you get them niggas, man, they just be talking, they be long-winded. It's like, okay, my nigga, we get you. Like, okay, it's over now. Let the next nigga speak.
And what do heads have to understand about getting online with all the foolishness, trying with all these antics and asinine acts? Like you said, a lot. True popularity is genuine because it means you have a charisma, it means you have a glow, it means people have an affinity towards you because you represent something authentic and tangible and real. You have something in abundance of genuine aura that cannot be duplicated. And a lot of times we see artists get out here on social media trying to play that role like they're really that guy, you know, when they really are. How important is it to stay true to yourself and know who you are every day you wake up?
Man, very true. Very true. If you ain't being true to yourself, shit, how could you be true to anybody else? And if you're a real motherfucker, you gonna read between the lines, man. You feel me? Like, it ain't that hard, man, to see somebody fake. You know? It's just like putting a fake chain on your neck. You feel me? That shit going to start itching or it's going to turn green. It's going to tarnish. You're going to start fading.
It's that rash.
Yeah.
You feel me? Real talk.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Leave
so,
that mark.
Know, real recognize real, man. You feel me? And you know, the fake want to be the real all the time, you know? So, I mean, all I can say is distance yourself away from fake motherfuckers. If you hang around five fake motherfuckers, you're going to be the sixth fake motherfucker.
Fact.
Absolutely. You know, and that's all about in terms of the company you keep. Either you're going to be incorporated into something great or you'll be bankrupt in character and personality. It's all about that circle you are in, and that's the most important thing.
Real life. Real life.
But real dope, man.
Definitely.
We almost about to wrap this thing up shortly, man. We had a dope bill with you. Tell people where we can find you on your social media handles and where they can purchase your music.
Definitely, man. Y'all can definitely find me, man, on IG at Young Lot Flood. That's YUNGLOTTFLOOD. That's on all my handles. That's on Twitter. That's on, you feel me, shit. I was about to say MySpace. Good luck. You know I really come from that old shit.
We all do. It's okay.
Hey, Facebook, man. Facebook, IG, YouTube. It's Young Lot, man. You feel me? I'm here. I'm here, man. You feel me? Make sure y'all, man, tune in. Google me, man. You feel me? Go look at the new motherfucking video I just dropped, man, with E40, Mitchy Slick, Black Sea, RBL Posse, West Coast Stone, produced by the Mechanics, man, you know. And I'm going to stay continuing giving y'all, man, you feel me, my life, you feel me, and this real shit, this authentic shit.
And a lot. Most importantly, you're welcome back anytime, man. So anytime you got some
music, I appreciate y'all having me, man.
Definitely, definitely.
No doubt.
All right, man. So peace. God bless. Tell your son get that stat before the game's out. What school? Before we go,
yes,
what
sir,
school
yes,
are you looking
sir.
To going to? Because if it's a Nike school, we need some merchandise. We got to get some of the stuff to support. Where's he looking to going?
Oh, man, he want to go to Oregon, man. So you feel me? Like, man, you know, if God said the same, Lord willing, you feel me? We going to forever live out our dreams, for sure.
Definitely. Eugene, here he comes. All right.
Yeah, off top. You feel me? He get there, man. I'll make sure y'all get some tickets.
We appreciate it. Look, if we can't get out to Eugene, tell him send us as much football stuff. For me, I wear a double X. Tell him send as many shoes, T-shirts, shorts, especially the shoes, because I'm a sneakerhead, so I know the type of stuff Oregon gets, and I'm a Nike guy, so yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. But Lot, once again, thank you so much, man. God bless to you and yours. Stay up and stay full of
same
love
to y'all,
and real,
family.
Man.
Same
we
to
appreciate
y'all.
You. Thank you.
Okay, for sure. All
always, right. Brother.
All right, one love.
And one, peace. And King, take us on out of here, man.